Okay, good evening. So, our topic is announced as Asar V'Teves on Friday. It's a little bit of a bait and switch, because while that is included in what we're talking about, and that's relevant to this year, and that brings in its own interest, but really most of it is going to be about the possibility, or the theoretical possibility, of Asar B'Teves on Shabbos. And the fact that there is such a discussion is what also leads us to the possibility, which is also unusual, of Asar B'Teves on Friday, which is what actually does take place. So it's B'chlal Masah Yemana that, because there is what to talk about regarding Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, that we get to our reality of Asar B'Teves on Friday. So that's what our topic really is, the possibility of Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, which is what then brings about this Asar B'Teves on Friday actuality. So what do I mean by that? So we know that in general, we don't fast on Shabbos. And that is true for the most part. The main exception to that is Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur is really the only tainus that we have min haTorah, and that is one with great severity to it. And should that fall out on Shabbos, which it occasionally does, so then we fast on Shabbos. Other than that, we generally don't. There's one exception that the Gemara considers. We'll come to that a little bit later. But as a matter of regular practice, we don't fast on Shabbos. And Tisha B'Av and Shavasa B'Tamas frequently fall out on Shabbos, and we push them off. So we don't observe the fast on Shabbos, and we observe those fasts on Sunday. So one would think that the same rule should apply to Asar B'Teves. And certainly it should be in the same category, because we have four Tanesim that commemorate the Churban: Asar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, Tisha B'Av, and Shavasa B'Tamas. So why should Asar B'Teves be any different, any more chamer? And if anything, certainly compared to Tisha B'Av, we would think that it's less chamer. We know that we treat Tisha B'Av with greater severity than the other three. So we wouldn't expect that Tisha B'Av would get pushed off to Sunday and Asar B'Teves wouldn't. Asar B'Teves also happens to get a little bit of a different reputation because it comes in the middle of the summer and a mercifully short day, so we also tend to not see it with the same kind of severity, at least in this hemisphere, as Tisha B'Av, which is the opposite time of year and much longer. But all of that combines just to give Asar B'Teves the impression of being a less chomer time. So it would be surprising to us if Tisha B'Av, that we move off from Shabbos to Sunday, and Asar B'Teves we wouldn't. Nonetheless, this is the position that is expressed by the Abu Dram, as quoted by the Beis Yosef. In Aruch Chaim and Siman Tav Kuf Nun, the Beis Yosef quotes the Abu Dram in Hilchos Tainius, who says a Chiddush, that Asar B'Teves is different from the other Tainius, that if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would not be able to push it off to another day because of the language of the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And therefore, that would put it in a category like Yom Kippur. And that's a big chiddush. And the Beis Yosef himself, who quotes this, is astonished by it. And he writes, Minayin Loza, where do you get this from? So what do you mean, where he gets this from? So he explains where he gets it from. He gets it from the Pasuk. So as Menachas Elazar explains in his Shuvas, that we don't have the authority after the time of the Gemara to make our own drashos. So since that isn't present in Shas, so especially a chiddush of that significance, so you wouldn't expect that that could be derived later. So that's where his question comes from. Where do you get such an idea that this should be true? Now, practically speaking, it doesn't actually happen on our calendar. So it's hard to evaluate Pesach in this sense because it doesn't actually play out. And there were those who also theorized that even in the scenario that the Abidram was discussing, he didn't necessarily mean that you would actually fast on Shabbos on Asar B'Teves, but maybe he meant that it just would be canceled, that it couldn't be pushed off to another date. So that doesn't really sound like it, especially because he groups it with Yom Kippur, but that's just an important possibility to be aware of, and there may be some aspect of that that may be useful to consider. So what I'd like to do in the next few minutes, we can't necessarily explain the position of the Abidram 100%, but what we can do is give some parts of the puzzle, that there are a number of points that we can raise that may contribute to understanding why Asar B'Teves might be different, and perhaps putting them all together, so that may help us to paint a picture that may make this more understandable, and being that it doesn't happen anyway, so it's just a matter of our understanding and appreciating some of the components of Asar B'Teves and giving us a little bit of a more insightful perspective on what's happening in the day. It's very valuable for that, and especially for us this year when we do have this very unusual experience of fasting on a Friday. So relevant to that, the Or Sameach suggests in Hilchos Tainius in Parakei Halacha Vav that perhaps there is a source from Shas for the Abidram, from the Gemara in Erevin and Daf Mem Amud Beis, that there the Gemara asks somebody who is taking on a personal tainus on Erev Shabbos. So what should he do? Should he keep the tainus going up until Shabbos? Or should he break it before Shabbos so that he doesn't enter into Shabbos in a depleted state? We call Shalikanis the Shabbos Menuvel. So why doesn't the Gemara ask about Tainus Tzibur, what the rule should be? Why does the Gemara pose this scenario specifically about somebody who takes on a personal Tainus? You could ask, what about a calendaric fast that should happen to fall out on Friday? What should the halacha be? So he suggests that the reason the Gemara doesn't ask that question is because the only fast on our calendar that does fall out on a Friday is Asar B'Teves, and there's no reason to ask the question because the Gemara is taking it for granted that you would keep the fast going until Shabbos because you would fast on Shabbos itself. So if you'd fast on Shabbos itself, so certainly you would fast on Erev Shabbos up until Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara is taking as a given. So says the Or Sameach, that's where the Abidram gets it from. So that's one point specifically relevant to the Erev Shabbos Asar B'Teves. The fact that it exists and the fact that the Gemara doesn't even question it is because this is understood as a Kal V'Chomer from the fact that it could take place on Shabbos too. So therefore, normally we have a hesitancy, we don't fast on Shabbos, and we don't fast on Erev Shabbos either, because we don't want to enter Shabbos Menuvel. That's why, for example, when Purim is on Sunday, so if Purim is on Sunday, Tainus Esther is supposed to be the day before Purim, but we're not going to fast on Shabbos, and we don't fast on Friday either, so we push it off 2 days, we push it off till Thursday. So that's because we don't want to fast either on Shabbos or on Friday. So that should have meant that we wouldn't fast on Asar B'Teves on Shabbos either. But we know both from practice and from the fact that the Gemara doesn't even ask about it that that's not the case. So why is that not the case? So that's what the Or Sameach says, that it was taken as a given because even on Shabbos itself, apparently you would fast. And that's the source, Shas-wise, for the position of the Abidram. So that's just one part of the puzzle, perhaps giving some bit of a basis from Shas, from the Talmud, to begin the position. There are other comments of the Or Sameach that may also be helpful. The Or Sameach also quotes over there from the Mabit in his Kiryas Sefer that the Isser Min HaTorah to fast on Shabbos. Now, what exactly do we mean by an Isser Min HaTorah to fast on Shabbos? That itself is a separate discussion because it's not clear where the Isra of the Torah is to fast on Shabbos. So we assume that we have a chiyuv to eat on Shabbos because of the obligation of oneg, which is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that's midivrei Kabbalah. So the language of Isra min haTorah may relate to that, or may come from a pasuk in Parshas Baloscha, which the phrase "biyom simchaschem" is interpreted by Chazal in the Sifri as referring to Shabbos. So it's not 100% clear what he means when he says the Isra Daraisa, but leaving that question aside for a moment, the Mabit says that the full Isser, the Isser Daraisa of fasting on Shabbos, is only when you fast 24 hours, when you fast Meis Leis. But if you're only fasting during the daytime, so then that's not Asur Min HaTorah. So, says the Or Sameach, that could be also relevant here. And he notes that that also could be, the Gemara tells us that Rebbe wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av that fell out on Shabbos. And one interpretation of that Gemara was that he wanted to cancel it completely. So the Gemara talks about Tisha B'Av and not Shavuos and Batamas, even though they're always together because they're always the same day of the week. So it always happens to both of them. But the Gemara specifically talks about Tisha B'Av. So the Or Sameach says maybe the reason is because Tisha B'Av is observed as a 24-hour fast. So that would be a real problem to observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. But Shavuos v'Batamos would have been less of an issue. So that is not brought up in the same context. So here also, Asar v'Teves, once there is a reason to do it, you can also throw in the fact that as a partial fast, one that's only observed during the daytime, it's less offensive to Shabbos, not the Isra Daraisa, whatever that is, that a 25-hour, 24-hour fast would have been. So another part of the puzzle. Another part of the puzzle we could add is the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Aleph raises the question of why is it so obvious to us that the Dalit Somos, the four fasts of the Churban, are not Doche Shabbos? So here, now the point that we just said about the issue of eating on Shabbos and in Isra Daraisa and the like, so he is coming from the premise that the issue of eating on Shabbos is not a Isra Daraisa, but rather it is a chiyuv of oneg from Divrei Kabbalah, or perhaps even only Darabanan. And the Tanesim, he's assuming, actually comes from a more authoritative source. So just to discuss for a moment the notion of Divrei Kabbalah, has nothing to do with mysticism, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches makes a reference to the idea of Divrei Kabbalah being concepts that come to us through Scripture, meaning not Chumash, but Nach. And they are essentially dinim d'rabbanan. They are dinim that are man-made, but are mentioned in psukim, in Nach. So therefore, they have a little bit of a higher status called Divrei Kabbalah. And the Gemara over there has, in a very specific context, Divrei Kabbalah k'divrei Torah dami. So the author of the Shagas Aryeh in his Sefer Terei Evin was Mechadesh. Could be that the Rishonim didn't agree with this, but your Terei Evin had a lot of influence on this point, that the power of Divrei Kabbalah is like Divrei Torah for all intents and purposes. Even though the Gemara was saying it in a very specific context, he saw it as across the board, that we should be machmir on these Divrei Kabbalah like Divrei Torah. And many poskim take that attitude, for example, in Hilchos Purim. So all of the mitzvahs of Purim, the four mitzvahs of Purim, are in this category of Divrei Kabbalah because they're mentioned in the Psukim in Megillas Esther. So they have the status of Divrei Kabbalah. So many poskim treat those mitzvahs, Shalach Manas and Kriyas Megillah, at least through the daytime, as dinim like the Araisa because of their Divrei Kabbalah status. So Divrei Kabbalah would seem to be the status for the Tanesim also, although we'll see if that's necessarily the case, but at least it would seem to be. because they're all referenced in the pasuk in Zechariah, the pasuk that says Tzom HaRevi, Tzom HaChamishi, all these Tanesim will be LeBeis Yehuda, L'Sas, and L'Simcha, that ultimately they're going to be celebrated as holidays. So they are also Midivrei Kabbalah, they're also mentioned in Nach. So why are we so sure that Tisha B'Av and Shavasar B'Tamas shouldn't be observed on Shabbos? How do we know that the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos is more authoritative than the mitzvah of fasting on these Tanesim, which is Midivrei Kabbalah? Maybe it's at least a tie, and maybe it's actually more of a mitzvah to fast on the Tanesim than it is to eat on Shabbos. So the Menches Chinuch explains that when it comes to the Divrei Kabbalah, the fact, the authority that comes from the Pasuk, is only a reference to the month. So Chodesh HaRevi, V'Chodesh HaChamishi, what it says about Shavasu B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. So to the extent that there's a Chiyuv for Divrei Kabbalah, it is to fast in Tammuz and Av. It's not to fast on that specific day. So if we push it off a day, we're not actually missing the Divrei Kabbalah. So that's his suggestion, that the reason it can give way to Shabbos is because it's possible to fulfill the Divrei Kabbalah of these Tanesim by still having them within the month, even on a different day. And there, apparently, Sar Vateves is going to be the exception because of the extra pasuk in Yechezkel that says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So that could again be another part of the puzzle. So what parts of the puzzle do we have so far now? We have a Gemara in Ervin that the Yosemech says is possible Talmudic basis to see Sar Vateves as different. We see the fact that it is only a daytime fast that makes it perhaps less offensive to Shabbos. And the fact that the other Tanesim, the Pasuk only mentions the month, so maybe they're more portable. While Asar V'Teves, there's another Pasuk elsewhere that also says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and that ties it down to the specific day more than the other Tanesim. Another part of the puzzle could come from a comment of Reb Chaim Brisker. So this is in the Chidushei HaGrach, from the stencils. So if you know the whole history of the writings of Reb Chaim Brisker, so there's different levels of authority within those ksavim. So there's the Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi al Rambam. So this is not from there. This is the next level down, the Chidushei HaGrach al Hashas, which is, used to be known as the stencils because it was published in a very informal format. So in the Chidushei HaGrach, so he talks about this idea. For whatever reason, he quotes it from the Bahag. I'm not sure why. Maybe he had a Masorah that the Bahag says this also. But this idea of potentially fasting Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, he quotes from the Bahag. And he points out that, as I alluded to at the beginning, there is another exception to fasting on Shabbos. So Yom Kippur, we fast on Shabbos. And there's also a theoretical possibility, a Tainus Chalom. The Gemara says in Masachus Tainus that if somebody has a bad dream and he's very distressed about the bad dream, so then the best Eitzah for him is to fast. And it should be immediate. When he wakes up, he should fast that day. So if he has a dream Monday night, he should fast on Tuesday. And the Gemara says also that even if he has the dream Friday night, he should fast on Shabbos. That apparently this is Doche Shabbos, this imperative or this value that comes from fasting in order to counteract a bad dream. And that's the explanation. We'll say a little bit more about it. The way the Rishonim explain is that it's not that we're throwing away Shabbos here, but that the imperative of Oneg on Shabbos usually means that we should eat, because that's what's compatible with Oneg, with a pleasant Shabbos. And in general, fasting is not compatible with a pleasant Shabbos. But if somebody's in such a state of distress because he is so upset about his dream, and if he fasts, he'll feel better because he'll feel he's doing something about it. So for this person, in this unusual circumstance, fasting will be more compatible with Oneg than eating will be. So that's what the Gemara recommends, that you should fast on Shabbos in that case. So Reb Chaim understood from that what do you see from the possibility of a Tainus Cholom on Shabbos, that there's different purposes of Tanesim, and that Tanesim are sometimes about sad things. So that shouldn't be on Shabbos. But a Tainus that is about Tshuva, so that isn't necessarily such a contradiction to Shabbos. He doesn't exactly spell it out with these words, but this is the way that he understands what Reb Chaim is getting at, and that's also consistent with the fact that he doesn't spell this out either, but it's also consistent with the fact that Yom Kippur is able to coincide with Shabbos, because the Gemara actually says that Yom Kippur was one of the two happiest days of the year. So even though we're not eating on Yom Kippur, but conceptually Yom Kippur is not considered to be otherwise a contradiction to Shabbos. So the idea of a tainus of tshuva, as opposed to a tainus of a more sad focus, is not necessarily a contradiction to Shabbos if it has to be on that day. In the Sefer Tiferes Torah, which is the Torah of Rav Shimon Pinkus, who's more well-known for the Svarim of his Hashkafa, but this is a Sefer of collected essays of his Lamdas. So he addresses this Reb Chaim, and he says that the Chiddush of the Pasuk of Etzem Hayom Hazeh, says you can learn from there that there is a fundamental distinction in Asar B'Teves from the other Tanesim that are written as Divrei Kabbalah, that all the Tanesim in general are about some incident. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, when it comes to Asar B'Teves, Asar B'Teves is already different. And what are we commemorating on Asar B'Teves? It's worth mentioning. We should go into Asar B'Teves knowing what we're commemorating. So what is it that we're commemorating? The language of the Gemara is Bo Samach Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Al Ha'ir, that he leaned on the city, basically he approached the city. So that's not actually an event that has its own consequences. It's not like when the city was actually breached or when the Beis HaMikdash was actually burnt, which is its own source of anguish. And we cry on those days because something terrible happened on those days. Or Tzom Gedalia, when Gedalia was assassinated, and that had its own tremendous significance. So on those days, we fast because of things that happened. In the sense of Asar B'Teves, there was a sakana that came along with what happened. There was a danger. And had that stopped at that point, had that been canceled after a short time, so we would have seen retroactively that nothing happened. And it's only that we know that it didn't end there, that we can look back and we can see that this was a significant stage in the history of what happened. So what does that mean? It means that we're not mourning an event, but that the day carries a certain sakana in the day. And therefore, that is not portable. That's essentially how he understands. And this, he compares it to the concept of if somebody has a yard site. So the notion of fasting on the yard site. So that is also not an expression of avelus. When somebody fasts on the yard site of a parent, it's not, that is not itself a manifestation of mourning. But that's because the day is considered to be a Yom HaDin for the family. Somebody passed away on that day. So that is built into the day itself. And that's not something that can be moved to a different day. So if it's not going to happen on that day, so then maybe it should be canceled completely. But it's not something that can be moved to a different day. As opposed to Avelus, which does actually move to a different day. Now, it's also relevant to mention here the position of the Ramban the Ramban commenting on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we alluded to before. The Gemara says that language of Divrei Kabbalah. So the Gemara there has the discussion of that pasuk that we referred to, the pasuk in Zechariah, that says that Tanesim, all these four Tanesim, Yula Beis Yehuda, L'Sasson, L'Simcha, will someday be celebrated as joyous days. So the Gemara asks, terrific, so when's that going to be? So the Gemara says that Nizman Shei Shalom, when there's Shalom, that's when it's going to be. So what does that mean, Shalom? So it's Machlokas Rishonim. It's typical, so we can't even agree on what Shalom means. But it's Machlokas, what constitutes Shalom. The one thing we know for sure, unfortunately, especially now, we know that we're not there now. But what it is, we're not 100% sure. But one thing we know is that we're not there. On the other hand, we don't know for sure where we are. So the Gemara says that when there is Shalom, so then these days will be celebrated as holidays. In a situation of Shmad, of absolute persecution, that's when they are obligatory. If it's in the middle, if it's not Shmad or Shalom, so then Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. So then they're optional. So some of the Rishonim understood, such as the Ramban in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam, that that's the status we're in today, that in his day, that's what he wrote, and the assumption has been that that's been true throughout, although clearly one could question that, but his assumption is that we have this in-between status of the Tanesim, and that we observe them voluntarily, which doesn't mean that as individuals we can choose whether or not to fast on these days. It means Klal Yisrael has accepted them voluntarily, and every individual has to go along with that. Otherwise, we have very strong language about a paritz geder, somebody who separates from the ways of the tzibur. So it's not up to us as individuals to choose, but the tzibur as a klal has chosen. And the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is the exception. That Tisha B'Av, Hol V'Huchbulu B'Hatzaras, because Tisha B'Av was more intense, and Tosfos has two explanations what that means, is more intense, either because the Churban HaBayis is a greater tragedy, or because the same thing happened twice, and that has a certain significance to it. So Huchbulu B'Hatzaras is either a qualitative statement or a specific type of quantitative statement. But Tisha B'Av is the exception, so Tisha B'Av is not optional. But the other three were optional. So the Ramban says that's why Tisha B'Av is observed differently than the other three. Why is it that Tisha B'Av is observed with 5 inuyim and for 25 hours, and the other three are observed just during the daytime and with only the inuyim of Achila and Shtiyah? So the Ramban explains that really, conceptually, on a biblical level, here I mean biblical Tanakh as a whole, there is no such thing as a daytime fast, says the Ramban. And that the only kind of fast that we have in Tanakh are Yom Kippur kind of fasts, which is what Tisha B'Av is also. It's just that, since we're not really obligated to fast on the other 3 days, and Klal Yisrael took them on voluntarily, so we decided that we'll choose how we're going to do it. And we took it on as a lower level kind of obligation. And that's why we modified it to only fast during the daytime and to only prohibit Achila and Shtiyah. So that's the Ramban's understanding. Others disagreed, among them the Netziv. The Netziv, in his commentary to the She'iltas, he saw it differently. The Netziv was a big baki in Tanakh, and he brought rayos from Tanakh that he thought there is such a thing in Tanakh as a daytime fast. And he had other reasons why he disagreed, and he thought that it wasn't that Tisha B'Av was the default and everything else was watered down, but that Tisha B'Av is enhanced, and that it could be the other Tanesim were L'Chadchila set up this way. One important nafkamina, and I was wondering about this year, is that it would seem that if the Ramban's theory is correct, that in a situation of Shmad, and it certainly doesn't seem to be accurate to say that it's never been Shmad from the time of the Ramban till now, that in a situation of Shmad, however that's defined, so then maybe these Tanesim should be observed with full Chumrah of 25 hours and 5 Inuyim. And maybe one could suggest that maybe such a situation now, I don't know, and that maybe that might be a Kedai Chumrah, not saying that so authoritatively, but maybe that's something to think about based on the Ramban. It could be that the reason we don't find such a history of this, whatever, there is some discussion, and Chassid Lazar has a little bit of a discussion about this, but for the most part, we don't seem to find this in practice, is that maybe the situations of real Shmad, like in the concentration camps, already fasting is going to be more difficult to begin with, and people would only be able to eat whenever they have the opportunity. So the idea of making the Tanaism harder maybe didn't seem to be a logical approach, but theoretically it would seem from the Ramban's understanding that there should be times when these Tanaism should be taken with greater severity. But in any event, so it's a machlokus whether to accept this theory of the Ramban. But from a conceptual perspective, it could be, and some of the Achronim explain, that another consequence of our re-accepting these Tanesim on a different level, that they were initially Medivrei Kabbalah, and that same Divrei Kabbalah meant that they are optional Bezman Hazeh, and Klal Yisrael accepted them voluntarily, may also mean that we took them on in a different way, conceptually. And therefore, it may also mean that they are now days of tshuva more than of commemorating specific events. And that has its own theme to it that may have a different essence than they originally had when they were Medivrei Kabbalah and more obligatory. So that may also be a part of the puzzle. And that Asar B'Teves as a notion not being tied to an Avelis concept, but being that the day itself is a day of sakana, that is a call to tshuva, so perhaps that also makes it less portable, and all of these parts together may contribute to this idea that the Abadram has, that it shouldn't be able to be moved. There's also some notion that you find in some of the Svarim that the initial Asar B'Teves was itself on Shabbos, as a sefer called Zichron Shlomo, that was published by David Mandelbaum, who was incredibly prolific, and he published a lot of the Svarim of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer and others. So one of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer's name was Shlomo Kalish, and in that sefer he published a lot of Torah from him. He published a Sefer Zikaron for him called Zichron Shlomo. So he published a lot of Torah from him, and apparently his birthday was Asar B'Teves. So he published a lot about Asar B'Teves in that Sefer. So there he quotes from the Sefer Kodshei Yechezkel that was written by Rabbi Yechezkel of Ostrovsa, that original Asar B'Teves was on Shabbos, and that the idea of Bo Samach Melech Bavel Al-Ayir, that he approached the town, he approached the city, was that he actually came close to the city and he heard Chil Shabbos going on. And that tipped him off that there was spiritual vulnerability, and that was the beginning of the problem. And therefore, there is this ongoing idea that we should honor the connection specifically between Asar B'Teves and Shabbos. So that's one theme. But either way, the special severity of Asar B'Teves definitely plays out with the conceptual possibility that it would be on Shabbos. And we get a taste of that by having it on Friday. We definitely do get some experience with that, because it is an unusual kind of experience to have a fast day going into Shabbos. And it's especially relevant for us to consider the theme of any fast day, of tshuva, especially at this moment of tremendous sakana for Klal Yisrael. So if that is the idea, that Asar B'Teves itself represents a time of din and sakana, so this, of course, is a moment of sakana, of a tremendous degree, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. And to have that in mind and an appreciation for what that represents is certainly relevant. But also to appreciate that Rav Shlomo Fischer has a discussion in his drashos, the drashos Beis Yishai, where he has a theory. He says he can't prove this theory 100%, but he thinks that this makes sense, that we know that the Tanesim correspond to events connected to the Churban. But we also have tradition that they also correspond to incidents in Chumash. So, for example, the Tanesim also correspond to incidents in Chumash, that the Chet HaMeraglim took place on Tisha B'Av, and the Maisa HaEgel took place on Shavasu Batamas, etc., etc. So what happened on Asar B'Teves? So Rav Shlomo Fischer writes that he thinks there's a good case to be made that Mechiras Yosef took place on Asar B'Teves. And if that's the case, so then it's a special notion to be metaking the chait of Mechiras Yosef. And Mechiras Yosef, we relate to it. Meshech Chachma has comments in a few places, and others talk about how Mechiras Yosef is the paradigmatic Avera Ben Adam L'Chavero. If you want to talk about the paradigmatic Avera Ben Adam L'Makom, we talk about the Chet HaEgel. And in the area of Ben Adam L'Chavero, we talk about Mechiras Yosef, and that's because of its Chumrah, but also because of what it has to teach us about rationalization and justification and how we mistreat each other, and also the path to tshuva, which these parshios that we're in the middle of right now have a lot to tell us about the steps to tshuva and recognition and careful attention to these psukim. All of these four parshios from Vayeshev to Vayechi have a lot to teach us about that. And Lubavitcher Rebbe has a sicha in Parshas Vayigash where he also makes that point that reading Vayigash close to Asar B'Teves also helps us to appreciate the themes of Mechiras Yosef and Tshuva and the message of Achdus that's necessary in order to fix the Churban, and the idea of the siege that came about after the king of Bavel forced us all into this secluded, into this confined area. So that is kind of a forced achdus, and it was in the sense of hikdim refu l'machla, that sinas chinam would be the cause of the Churban. So a simon of what we need to fix it, this idea of a coerced achdus, is a sign of what we need to bring about in a more natural way of a more genuine achdus. And we know that we're in a time right now where terrible things have happened, but they have also been associated with a sense of tremendous unity in Klal Yisrael. And we have to hope that we are able to harness the power of that achdus to address whatever remains from the chait of Mechiras Yosef and the consequences Ladaros, and to address whatever sinas chinam is still within Klal Yisrael, and hope that we are able to bring about a gula shlema and to address the terrible moment of sakana that Klal Yisrael is in now, and that we should be able to bring a complete and lasting shalom bekarov, and that our fast in the unusual circumstance of fasting this Friday should have the power that comes along with that to be a successful method of tshuva for all of Klal Yisrael and accomplish everything that it has the potential to accomplish. Right, so yeah, shikach, and we should only see better things.